Blog Talk Radio.
WIJSF.com. Women in Jazz South Florida Inc. is a nonprofit educational organization that promotes women musicians globally through events, concerts, performances, clinics, lectures, workshops, articles, interviews, newsletters, courses, contacts, research, history, archives, websites, film, audio and video recordings, and recognition. Visit us at WIJSF.com. You're listening to blogtalkradio.com/musicwoman with your host, Diva JC.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Diva JC, and I am in gloomy Atlanta. It starts out bright and sunny, but by the afternoon, somehow it's always gloomy. Well, so be it. Now, you know that my life's work is bringing awareness to the world about the disparities and inequities of earnings by women musicians. My guest today, Melba Joyce, is a veteran of the stage. She has performed all over the world, and particularly she was invited to perform on the USO tour. So I'm going to bring her in. Hi, Melba.
Hello, Joan. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. It's just raining cats and dogs out here, though. It's just raining, raining, raining all morning.
Oh, so it must be the weather everywhere because it's gloomy in Atlanta.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, well, there's nothing we can do about that.
Well, we have rainy days. Into each life, some rain
can
fall.
Yeah, that's a beautiful
thing.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So, Melba, we are discussing today the disparities and inequities of earnings by women musicians. I know a lot of singers earn a lot more money than women musicians earn. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know. It's we're all looking for work, and I'm grateful to get work whenever I can, and I'm grateful that other people can do it too. So we're all trying to get some of the pie, you know, and I don't know what we can do about it. We just have to improve our crafts and make sure that we're recognized.
But how do we go about doing that? I mean, I know you organized the first Women in Jazz Festival in Harlem. Is that correct?
Right.
Uh-huh. And
yeah,
I
right.
organized. Right. And I organized the first Women in Jazz Festival in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the Broward Center and other places. And here we are, here I am, 25 years later, still looking at the fact that is it that people don't want to pay entertainers? What is the issue?
I wish I could answer that question. You know, it could be a lot of things. I just got a call from a friend of mine who lives in Tobago, Trinidad, Tobago, and she's opening up a nightclub, and I was so grateful that she called me because she said, you know, I want you to work there, so I'm really looking forward to going over there. So there are things that come and go, you know, and times that sometimes, you know, this is a bit, kind of business that's not steady. It's one day it's great, and the next day it's, you know, feast profound, it seems almost. I don't know how to even it out, except we need to do, if you're a singer, you need to know how to do everything that singers do. you know, you need to be able to sing country and western, you need to be able to sing jazz, you need to be able to sing everything. Somebody asks you to do a job, whatever it calls for, whatever music it calls for, you need to be prepared.
Right. Well, you're on Spotify. Your music is on Spotify. I'm going to play a couple of minutes of a tune with Mel Joy. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, just a moment. And here we go. Well, that said a lot. One thing about it, if you hear the music, you understand. So,
yeah.
Melva, I love you too. And you're one of my favorite people. Thank you for always being a member of Women in Jazz South Florida and your daughter.
Absolutely.
I was with... Yes, yes. I was with Rita Graham yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You're in Atlanta. She lives there. Yeah, we talk often.
Good, good.
Yeah.
So we're working on some projects to shine a light on the work that you have done and that Rita has done and several other of our younger members who are dedicated to this music and yet don't seem to get in the limelight, you know. So that's what we do. We shine a light on women like you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very appreciative of that. Thank you so much. It means a lot to me.
But you also have to let us know what you're doing all the time. Got to let me know.
Yes.
So now tell me about Tobago. When is that going to happen?
Well, she's building the club now. It shouldn't be long because she's a fast worker and she owns a restaurant already. So she knows she knows how to handle business very well. And I'm so happy that she called me. It's such a coincidence. She just called me like the night before last, I think it was. She was happy to hear from her. And she told me the name of, Jesus, my memory. She told me the name of the club that's going to be named tonight. I can't remember what it is. But she has a restaurant out near the airport called International House or something. Pancakes, I think it is, something like that, because it's a breakfast place. And she's been in business for about 30 years, so she's really successful, and I'm very proud of her.
Well, that is very interesting because I just learned that there will be a jazz festival in Barbados. And
That's good. I thought there was one already down there. Yeah, I thought it was one there.
Well, there may be one. I know there was a Women in Jazz Festival when I was there in 2017. But Gail Johnson from Jazz and Pink, they will be there. And so,
oh, great.
Yeah, that is wonderful that they're
going to
be on that festival. I'm so happy about that. So I think we just, you know, COVID probably put a wrench in a lot of people's careers. Don't you think?
Yeah, slowed down a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. But I see people coming back. I see groups promoting more, and we are going to be publishing the magazine this year.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, it's been a wonderful trek to fulfill our mission. So what are you doing in California? Have you been working?
I've been doing some work. When I came back, I was very surprised. My friend Barbara Morrison, who just passed on, has done some wonderful work in California. I mean, she really has. And she had the city to recognize me. Now the city's recognized me again. On November 17th, I got this I'll read this to you. It says Jazz Zone Jazz Abration. Congratulations on being selected to receive the Jazz Living Legend Award. December 17th, 2022, Melba Joyce at the Morningside Jazz Church Fellowship Hall on Crenshaw in Los Angeles. It was really a wonderful affair. There were about five people they celebrated, and it was just really nice. I was really grateful to be there and grateful to be remembered, you know?
That's terrific.
Yeah,
that is
wonderful.
So what are your aspirations? What do you see for yourself now?
Well, I see myself I just want to continue singing in any capacity I can, whether it's commercials, whether it's in church, whether it's jazz or blues or country, any kind of music that wants me, I want it. I want to do it. I want to be familiar with all of it. I enjoy music so much. I was just born into it. My father was a singer. You know, my mother loved to sing. My grandmother sang, and my grandmother studied opera. And she wanted to be an opera singer. My aunt, Monette Moore, she was a singer, and she was studying opera also when we were in high school. But anyway, she opened a club in Harlem in a brownstone building, and it's still open, I think. Yeah, it's on, I forgot my name, where it's located, but it's really a nice place, a nice spot. I was there one night, and the guy was trying to tell the history of it, and I said to him, let me tell you something. I got to tell you about my aunt. You know, I called her my aunt because she's my grandmother's best friend. And I had to straighten him out about a few things because he had some of his facts kind of mixed up, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, but it's really a nice place, and it's on the tourist list. And they bring buses of people by to listen to the music. It's really great. Right off Lenox on 100, I think it's 130-something in New York City.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So the music is thriving, you know. And jazz has been through a rough time where people didn't want to recognize it and give it its due, but we've won. We're winning. We're still winning. So I'm not really worried about its survival because I know that it is. Like I say about the Women's Jazz Festival, the one that I started, the Schoenberg Center for Research in Black Culture. It's been going on for 30 years. So they celebrated 30 years last year. So it shows you that it's really needed and really wanted because of the time it's thrived all on its own. The ladies keep coming back and performing. I just want them to stay closer to jazz because some of the music I heard was not jazz. I mean, I really wanted them to be more into mainstream jazz, you know.
So that jazz has evolved. You know.
Yes, it has.
I think it's evolved. It's been kind of watered down. You know, it's been kind of watered down. I don't think it necessarily changed because you can hear a horn play the same riff over and over and over and over and over again in the same key. And they call that mm-hmm. jazz, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I don't think it evolved. I think it just kind of laid there. I don't know.
Oh, but come on.
let's listen to some more. Let's play this one. Stomp the Blues Away. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Some locomotion got a crazy pair of shoes. I'll be the tiny hole in the middle of the street. Getting out of my car on the road. And I just didn't want to stop away the blues. We're gonna pop by night and then we're gonna sleep all day. When we get up at 12, we'll have a midnight matinee. And I'm ready to try and have a park and nurse. Not too bad that it can't get worse. Yeah, survive on the night. You can stop away the blues.
Broadway show.
Which Broadway show?
I'm trying to think of the name. You know, I haven't heard it in so long. I have to think. It takes me for a minute to think about what
okay.
it is.
Well, we have a caller. You'll think about it. We have a caller.
Okay.
Hello, 678.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. Hi, Melvy.
Hey, is that Rita?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, just fine. How you doing?
Good, real good. Just, you know.
So you and
crazy,
Jones
but that
long,
record,
huh?
Yeah, that record sounded great, Melvy. I thought I had heard everything. I never heard that.
You know what? I haven't heard that in so long. I was surprised to hear it, you know. Yeah,
where'd
really
you find it, Joan?
It's on Spotify.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yes. On Spotify, there are 10 songs from sea to shining sea, I guess.
Oh, you know, that. You know, somebody has changed that because that was not on Sea to Shining Sea. That was from a show and like a Broadway show. And I'm trying to think of the name of the show it was in. Oh God.
Well,
my
you
memory.
Know you're on IMBD. You know what IMBD is? For Run for the Dream. The Gail Devers Show story.
Gail Devers story. Yeah, I was in that film. That was a film about the,
and
you know, the track.
Did they use your song in that film, Melba? That song you wrote for her was wonderful. Did they put your song in that film?
No, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
In the Gail Devers story. I tried to get them to put it in that. I tried to get them to put it in Reggie's Prayer, which is another film I was in, which I enjoyed very much, working with Rosie Greer. And Charlene Woodard was in Gail Devers' story. But we had a good time making that film. It was really great. I'm trying to get back to some filmmaking here. You know, it's not the easiest thing to do. You got to know somebody or have an agent, and I haven't gotten an agent yet. So I'm looking for an agent. And I need to order that Backstage magazine. You know, there's a lot of notices about everything that's going on in auditions and things like that. And I keep saying I'm going to order the magazine, and I keep forgetting. But I'm going to have to get to it, you know, because I got to get to work.
Melba, you are a joy. You're a joy. Rita Graham is on the line. This is like a triple, a trifecta. Mm-hmm.
No, we met Melba and I met in the 60s.
Mm,
yeah. It was in the 60s. And I had seen you when you were in Ann Arbor with that I had gone past you were in Ann Arbor for the Girl Scouts or something.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I had gone, I'm going down the street, and I see all of these people that all looked alike except one. And it was you.
Oh,
and I remember, I said, oh, she's so pretty. I said, she's so pretty. And then you told me years ago, you know, later after we met, that you had been there.
Yes, yes. I was at the Girl Scout, first Girl Scout roundup. And there were 6,000 scouts from all over the country. And the trains would go through different states and pick kids up. And I was the only black girl from Texas.
Wow. But you were so beautiful. And I said, oh, boy, look at that pretty girl over there. And then we kept, you know, we were driving. And then you told me years later you were there for the. I said, oh, I bet that was you I saw, because sure wasn't nobody else.
Yeah, there weren't many black kids, many black girls there, but we had a wonderful time then. I really enjoyed the Girl Scouts. It gave a lot, you know, it added a lot to my life. It's such a wonderful organization.
I got another song I want to play, and you two can talk about this one. So give me it.
Okay.
I may not play all of it because it's 5 minutes and you got to go, but I'm going to play a little bit of it.
Okay. Thank you.
So I'm not sure, Rita, you could tell me. Could you hear the music, Rita?
I it hung up on me, and so I called back, and all I heard was like maybe a couple of bars.
Oh, okay, but did you hear it before you were hung up on?
No, it just hung up on me.
Yeah, I think I turned my mic off, and Melba had to go. So I'm going to continue this conversation with Rita Graham.
Yes, Dr. Diva JC.
So, Rita Graham, go ahead and tell me about how you met Melba.
I was working with a guitar trio, and it was in the Crenshaw area of Los Angeles. And, oh boy, we were so young. And that guitar player, Pete Fox, I ended up working with his band. And I ended up going to Hawaii with a boogie band that he was in. And I ended up going to Australia with my band that I put together with him. And he's still my very good friend. And he became my children's guitar teacher. He taught Sean and my son. And he's a wonderful person and a great musician. So that's what we were doing. Pete Fox.
And you met Melba with him.
Yeah. And we were just hanging out that night, and we became friends. And we had we always had so much fun. We were instant friends right then and there. Man, there's my friend, there's Melba. And Melba had a beautiful house with that she would have these holiday parties with candles and fabulous food and great music, and everybody would perform and
music in the backyard.
It was just wonderful. And I think about that so many times, especially over the holidays, you know, when we used to have those affairs. So we did a lot of stuff. We had some good music too.
and introduced our girls to one another as still dear friends.
Yes, and they were so cute. They used to play dolls. And they'd be playing dolls, and then they wouldn't see each other for maybe a week or two. And then when they got back together, the game would continue where it left off. They left everything where they left it. And when they get back together, they were just picking back up again. It's like, that's never happened.
And they're still friends just as we are, you know. They're still close to each other.
Mm-hmm. All these years.
Mm-hmm.
Did Melba tell you that she went to Vietnam? Did she tell you she went to Vietnam for me?
No.
I went twice, and Rita said, well, you're going for me this time. Well, you know, I went over to sing for the Tooth because when I found out that this guy, Johnny Grant, who was the honorary mayor of Hollywood, I met him someplace. I don't know where it was, but he said, do you like a Western movie? I said, yeah. He says, well, I'm hosting on Monday through Friday. I'm hosting a show where I play Western movies. He said, I thought you'd like it because you're from Texas. I said, you know, he's not a house from Texas. But anyway, I don't even know how he even knew me. Small world. But anyway, I watched the show for 5 days. I didn't know he was going to have people on there who were going to Vietnam to entertain during the break. So he had this happening. When at Friday, I called him and told him that I did see the show and I enjoyed the Westerns. I said, but I don't understand something. I said, what do you call yourself doing? He says, what do you mean? I said to him, you know, you didn't have one African-American. You didn't have one black person. You didn't have one Mexican on that show. Do you think that white people are the only people that are fighting in Vietnam?
All right.
I said, what do you think you're doing? He says, well, none of them are volunteering. I said, well, you have to go and tell them that you need them. When you have a position that you have, you have to straighten things out when you see that they're not correct, because that is not correct. You cannot continue to do this. This has got to be changed. So he says, well, I got an idea. I said, what is it? He says, well, why don't you go? I said, well, maybe I will. So I went over to the USO office and I told him I volunteered to go. And Georgie Jessel was going, the Jewish comic, he was going over. And he said, Georgie Jessel was going over and he's looking for a black girl to go. He's taking a black girl and a white girl. They said, would you be interested in going? I said, let me think about it. Thought about it for about 20 minutes. And I said, yeah, I'll go. But he was leaving before I was. Although my trip was booked already, he was leaving before I was. So I had to go with him first, which was good because he had a VIP status, you know, because he's a star. And so when I went back, I had the same privileges that he did. We went to the general's house, General Abrams, who they named the Abrams tank after later on, and all that. So it was a wonderful, I was very grateful to be able to do it because the guys really enjoyed the show. And, you know, some things just have to be straightened out, you know? When you see it's not going right, you just have to straighten and change it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I've been to about 60 countries and be going to Tobago as soon as my friend opens the club. Rita, did you hear me say that my friend is opening up a jazz club in Tobago?
No, wow.
Yeah, she's opening up a club. She has a restaurant that she's had there for 30 years. She met her husband there, and so they're getting ready to open it up. So as soon as she gets it open, I'm going to go. So I'll give her your name and all my other friends, you know, who may want to be interested in going over there.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the kind of thing. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that you know, I would go for just for airfare and hotel tips, you know. So,
yeah,
with the jazz club, yeah, we can handle that. Yeah, shoot, we can do that.
Yeah,
I'm going to stop you right there because you cannot say stuff like that on my radio show. We must pay the band.
That's right.
Right. And it's like I think I mentioned to you, Joan, Dr. Joan, but my friend who has passed now, he was a power forward, New York Knicks and the Hawks, and I mean, he was just a great, he's in the Hall of Fame, 6'11", and he would say to me, Miss Graham, looking down on me,
Miss Graham, they paid. They paid the dishwasher. She said, they paid the guy that parked the car. They paid the janitor. Did you get paid?
That's right.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah, you can't. You can't sell yourself. Sorry.
Getting paid is the name of this show. I'm gonna change it from Melba Joyce to Getting Paid, because that is, you know, that is my life's work. Getting myself and other women musicians P-A-I-D.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, because, you know, it's like we always said around here, you know, the grocery store can't take a joke, you know?
No,
they're not going to give you any food just for exposure.
That's right.
Thank you. And if I need exposure, I could go outside on the, never mind, I won't do that. But anyway, ladies, it has been my pleasure to have you. And Melba, do you still need to leave, or can you stay with us until 4 o'clock?
I wish I could.
Okay.
My ride is going to be here in just a few minutes.
All right.
But anyway, I've enjoyed it so much, Dr. Joan, and I just appreciate everything you've done for the music and done for us, ladies, and how you look out for us all the time. We're always on your mind, and we know we are.
That's right.
And you're always,
yes,
you're always in my mind. I thank you so much. You've just done so much, so much, so much, and dedicated your life
well,
to
it. Well, I love your enthusiasm. You motivate me. You keep me on my toes, you know, because I want to give up. A lot of times, I want to give up, but
you can't allow you to do it. I'm sorry.
No, Melba, she's only going to give up until she hears her intro. When she hears the introduction to her,
that's right.
When she hears
right.
the introduction,
and
you're talking about a knockdown, drag-out entertainer and a fun person. Joan Cartwright, we had some great moments in Asheville, North Carolina, and we're at this private club, and Joan was, yeah, somebody played Joan's intro, and next thing I know, Joan had the room rocking.
I know, that's right.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
That's
wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, Mel, we're going to talk soon, okay? We will be talking soon.
Okay, yes, we will be talking.
Okay,
I love
dog.
You, Melba. Be safe.
I love you. I love you both so much. And this has been so much fun. Thanks for playing that music, Joan.
Yes. I'm going to play another one, too. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And
okay,
I'm going to be reissuing one of my CDs, and I'll let you know what it is. And I'll keep you
okay.
in touch with
That's
with
good.
My friend, yes, opening the club, and be sure to include some of your ladies in it, okay?
Wonderful. That sounds wonderful.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, sweetheart.
Love you, Rita.
Love you, darling.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay,
bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Rita, stay here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Because the swing is the thing. Frank Foster said, if it ain't swung, it ain't swinging.
There it is. And she can really, I saw her one time. We were out somewhere in Beverly Hills, and mm-hmm. she did a up-tempo version of no, that's not what it was. I remember where it was. The song that she did was Everything Must Change. That's what it was, and it was not up tempo. But when she came back in after the interlude, she jumped the octave up to that next It was lovely. It was just amazing. So she's a great artist.
Absolutely, absolutely. So your lives ran concurrent with each other.
Oh, yeah, from the time that we were, you know, just barely in our 20s, we just, I mean, she would do, because, you know, she was featured vocalist with Louis Jordan's band. She was featured vocalist with Lionel Hampton. I mean, she just had a whole lot of stuff. So when I was off with Ray Charles and Harry James, she was on the other side of the world doing pretty much the same thing. But I did a lot more pop because I had some pop gigs.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Far East for a buyer that they were all, you know, nightclubs stuff, and I had, if I'd had any sense, though, as I was married to a wonderful arranger, I would have the book of life.
Let's play a tune from what they have of you on Spotify, okay? So I'm going to pick it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on Spotify. A lot of stuff on Spotify.
Yeah, but what I'm looking at right now is We Are Kings. It looks like it's a lot of singles that I hear. And I
the only thing I have on there is A Man Like You, and then I wrote the We Are Kings theme song, but everybody's singing on it. And everybody wrote their own verse. I wrote 4 verses theme song to the movie. And Sammy suggested that everybody write a verse about what their character was in the film. So the We Are Kings theme song is actually my song, but I'm only singing 1 verse.
Oh, okay.
And everybody else is singing their verse.
Well, I don't want to play that then. I want to play something else.
Okay.
So which song are you, Sitting in Boston, what's that?
Well, I wrote that, and it's a pop tune. It's not really, it's just a song. It's hard to explain about Boston.
Let's listen.
Okay, listen, you can listen.
We'll make our own determination.
Okay.
Well, I'm sitting in Boston, feeling so far away from you. It's been 2 weeks since I kissed you. It's been like when you're here. What can I do?
Thank you.
Fantastic vocalist, both.
Well,
you know,
thank you, darling. Thank you, thank
well,
you. Consider
well,
I said the same to you.
I didn't make your voice. Don't thank me. Thank you.
Well, I said the same to you because, listen, what it's about is creating that moment. That's all it's about.
Yes, I like that song. That has a nice
thing
to it. Mm-hmm. Then probably,
thank you.
Movie called Sitting in Boston. Yeah.
it sure would be nice. The saxophone player passed three years ago, and we had a band. His name was Steve Hooks, and we had a band called Hooks Graham, and we put together five cuts. There's one called With You in My Life that was the one that I thought was really a hit record, and I wish that somebody had picked it up. But we recorded in this studio in Torrance, California, that within a few years later became the center of all those West Coast rappers. They recorded, Snoop Dogg and all of them recorded at that studio. Audio Achievements was the name of the studio.
Yeah, well,
after
see,
a while.
The paradigm mm-hmm. changed. Because
yes.
they weren't really sitting around waiting for somebody to pick them up.
Right.
You know what I mean? That is what our generation did. We were looking to be signed with a label. But today's musicians created their own label, and they published their own music. You know.
Right, and the internet was there at their fingertips so that they could just send out. They tell me that one of those rappers, and I forget which one it was, he put out like an excerpt from his record, and he posted 400, 500 times a day.
Right.
And all the social media, and the next thing you know, they wanted to hear the rest of the record, and so they... You know, they all swarmed on it. You know how kids are. There's something new. And they jumped right on it.
I think you and Melba do that anyway because neither one of you just sit back and let the time go by. You know, you're both aggressively looking and accepting opportunities. And so that is what will impact your earning ability, you know, way past the Social Security age. I'll put it that way, you know.
yeah, I sure hope so.
Well, I mean, when is your next gig?
I've got just got one yesterday, and also I'm doing excerpts from God's Trombones. As soon as we're starting rehearsal on the 4th here at the Southwest Arts Center, which is a beautiful center here in the Cascade area of Atlanta. Right. So it's being produced by my friend Faye Adams Taylor, and so we'll be doing excerpts from. We're not going to do all of God's Trombones, but we're going to do excerpts from God's Trombones. I just got that, and then I'm doing a concert at the Avondale Estates. That's a new amphitheater, and that's in June. And I'm feeling like things are really picking up. The pandemic just threw stuff all out of kilter, but we got, things going. So we'll just see how the wind blows and see how the spirit's going to move.
Well, Rita, I sang so many places and sang so many songs and have so many memories that I don't relish thinking about having to think about where am I going to work next weekend. I did that for 40 years. And
me too.
It was fun. It's fun, But the truth of the matter is I'm happy in retirement. So happy. And when they did my music last March at the Arts Garage with Roberta. You remember Roberta? I had this sense of accomplishment because other people were singing my song, and that really didn't happen, before. I'm thrilled. As a matter of fact, I have two other ladies that are interested, and I forgot that I was supposed to send them my song book. But it's just been a pleasure to talk to you, as always. And Melba got on the line and did her thing,
Oh, yeah, she's delightful, and she still has that little girl's voice. You're just amazing voice. It's just wonderful. And that's my sister. And I'm so glad to have had this moment with you and to hear sitting in Boston, because I haven't heard it for a while. And I forget some of those things are on Spotify. There's something on Spotify that's really interesting. It's really an instrumental. But if you get a chance to pull it up, it's when you're not doing anything. It's an instrumental. I just wrote the first four lines and four lines in the middle and four lines at the end. It's called The Whale's Tale. We tried to sell it to Greenpeace, but they weren't interested. This is the saxophone player that I was working with for 4 years in Los Angeles. And then he sent for me and had me to do a couple of tours with him in Germany, which was just a wonderful experience. But, I never know when things are going to show up or what the meaning is. You just have to just keep going and doing the best you can. And I'm so grateful for you, Joan, for putting that organization together, giving a forum for so many magnificent musicians that I know will enhance everybody's career eventually, in ways that we can't even anticipate.
Well, that'd be fun. That'd be nice if, somewhere in the future that happens,
Yes.
Is this it? The Whale's Tale.
Yeah, that's it. Now, he did that with the horn.
Was a fool before I heard it say, I hear love and you in your
Rita, that's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. And then the rest is just an instrumental, and then it ends up the same way with those first few lines at the very end of it. One day I'll know the reason for the songs you sing each season. And see, he didn't know how whales really sounded, and he just did it. And then somebody gave him a record so he could hear how whales really sound. And it's really a strange little record. Very strange. But like I said, the rest is just an instrumental. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of stuff to do, you know.
Yep.
I think the show started all over again, but we're going to go. So I love you, Rita Graham. And I love
you too,
your voice. Thank you so much for making this show happen today. Okay.
Well, thank you for having it, and best of everything, sending love and light and blessings constantly and always. And I will see you soon, and looking forward to the next time.
And I'm going to have some lobster
bisque.
WIJSF.com. Women in Jazz, South Florida, Inc. is a nonprofit educational organization that promotes women musicians globally through events, concerts, performances, clinics, lectures, workshops, articles, interviews, newsletters, courses, contacts, research, history, archives, websites, film, audio and video recordings, and recognition. Visit us at WIJSF.com. You're listening.